Please open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Brother David's going to come in a moment and preach God's word to you. I'm going to read the opening verses for him. We'll pray, and then he'll come up. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. The word of the Lord reads like this. You, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You, therefore, must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in these things. Let's pray. Lord of heaven, we do ask for understanding in your word. Gift us, Lord Jesus, with your wisdom. Bless us with your peace. Open the mouth of Brother David as he comes to preach your word, and may your word find fertile, welcoming hearts for it. In your holy name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Well, thank you, Kevin. It's a blessing. I want to thank Pastor Eric for the opportunity. It's always a blessing and a joy and a great privilege to preach God's word. So I want to begin by saying the title of this sermon is a command, a commission, and three characters to consider. And since I have a little bit extra time today, thanks to Pastor Eric, I really don't expect to use that extra time, but I'm very grateful for the opportunity to preach today. I want to begin by speaking about the letter. You know, we want to give some background to those that may not be familiar with the book of 2 Timothy. It's a book written by the Apostle Paul from prison. And not only from prison, but really his death is imminent. He is aware that he is soon to be executed by the Roman Empire. And he writes this letter to his son in the faith, not biological son, but a son in the faith, one that he has mentored and chosen as pastor in the city of Ephesus in modern-day Turkey, and also to carry on the work after Paul is gone. So what Paul writes here in this short passage is timely for Timothy, but is also a timely message for us in our day. It begins with a command. He says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Now he begins this because of what he understands Timothy is going to be facing in the commission that is mentioned in verse 2. The assaults upon Timothy have been strong in Ephesus. He has encountered much opposition, and he will continue to encounter much opposition throughout his life. He will be a faithful pastor there in Ephesus for years. And yet, here, the Apostle Paul is commanding him and us to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now, we have several questions that may come to mind when we think of this, but I want to begin by saying being strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus is not a work. It is not something we do. It is something we are. As Christians, we are to be strong. We are to abide in what Christ has done. Grace, of course, is the free, undeserved favor of God. And we want to abide in that, as Jesus himself taught in John chapter 15, when he said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So Christ here is teaching us, and the Apostle Paul is teaching us, we are to abide in Christ. This is something we are to be in through faith in Christ. This is a command. And I ask you today, are you strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus? This is a message from a Christian to Christians. And yet today, if you do not know Christ as your Savior, I want to encourage you to come to Christ. If you are in Christ, I want to encourage you to examine yourself. Are you strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus? Not something we can earn. Again, it's free. It's an undeserved favor. And yet, this entire letter, as dark as it may appear from the outset, thinking it's written from somebody on death row to a pastor that's encountering much opposition in the city of Ephesus, it's really the exact opposite. And the music Tanner chose today is very timely, because this letter is full of grace from the beginning to the end. You can look at chapter 1, verse 2, you see grace. You can look at chapter 4, verse 22, it ends with grace. And all throughout, the idea, the message that Paul is emphasizing is the grace of God. He himself is strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, even as he awaits execution, because he knows Christ. You can look back at chapter 1, verse 12, where he speaks about he knows whom he has believed, and he is persuaded that he is able to keep what he has committed to him until that day. And I pray today you have that same confidence, regardless of your circumstances, regardless of the outlook in the world, that you are abiding in Christ, that you are being strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Paul also wrote in Ephesians chapter 6 the same sort of idea about being strong in Christ and in the power of his might. And that is how we are to conduct ourselves. This is how we are to live as Christians, understanding that our power is not from within. Our power is from above. Our power is through Christ. And regardless of the situation, regardless of the culture, regardless of what we may be looking at, we are to abide in him. We are to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. This is what we are called to in this dark day. What a day we live in. I think satire writers are being put out of work. Because you think things that are written that are so ridiculous, and yet they are coming to pass. The next Archbishop of Canterbury of the Church of England is a woman for the first time in history. And this is being celebrated by many in the church, by others, not so much. But this is an amazing step that the Anglican Church has taken. The number one song on the gospel charts this week is a beautiful song, but it's by somebody that doesn't exist. It's artificial intelligence, just as the number one song on the country charts is by someone that doesn't exist. What a day we live in. And because of what we encounter, the strength at which we are to draw from Christ is so necessary in this day, because the commission that Paul gives Timothy is one that is a commission that has been given to us as well. He said, and the things, in verse 2, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. This is the primary and preeminent role of the church, to protect the truth of the Word of God. I'm so thankful for Kevin reading what he read today concerning Scripture. So many churches in our day around our country and around the world have turned from the truth of Scripture. And yet this is the commission Paul is giving Timothy, his son in the faith. When Paul is facing death, he makes sure to tell Timothy to keep what he has been entrusted with. He mentions this in chapter 6 of 1 Timothy. He mentions this in chapter 1 of 2 Timothy. And the whole purpose Paul is giving Timothy is to keep it, to entrust it, to allow it to be passed on through faithful men who can teach others also. This is what we're to do as a church. Well, this is what we're to do as Christians. Now, you may say, well, I'm not a faithful man. You may not be a man at all. I'm not trying to denigrate men. I'm just saying, you may say, well, how does this apply to me? The whole purpose of this commission that Timothy has been given is that we are to pass on the truth, uncorrupted, incorruptible. We are to pass it on to others. So if whether or not you're a pastor or have an office in the church, you are to share the gospel. This is the great commission that Jesus himself gave in Matthew chapter 28 concerning how we are to propagate the gospel. This is not a work that just pastors should do or deacons should do or people that really go to church a lot should do. This is a commission that is given to every Christian. And we are to take this to heart. We need to remember in this day and age, we need to be willing to offend people for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of their soul. We cannot love them so little that we will stand idly by and watch them descend on the path to hell while we do nothing. As people that have the truth, We are commanded, we are commissioned to share the gospel. And I urge you, be willing to speak the truth in love, not to offend, but to be gracious to those who need grace, those who need the truth of the gospel. How many of us here know of no one that's lost? I can't think of one. There may be, but the reality in our lives, we are in a culture where the great majority of people we encounter are lost. And our commission, as we read here in this passage, is to be faithful in the keeping of it and the passing along of it. The truth of the gospel, the truth of God's word, is a work we all should engage in. This is what we're called to do. And the immensity of this task that Paul is giving Timothy, you see there in verse 3, where he says, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. This is what we all are to recognize and understand. We are against the culture. We are against our civilization. We can look at our nation and say, well, it was founded on Christian principles, and it was, praise God. But those Christian principles, those foundations are being eroded. And we need to stand for the truth. And in this day and age, just as in the first century, when it seems like the task is too great, we need to commit to be found faithful, even to the end. And the city of Ephesus was the great temple of Artemis or Diana. One's Roman name, one's a Greek name. But this is one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. It was right there in the same community Timothy was seeking to bring people to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in the face of what he encountered in that day, and in the face of what we encounter in our day, we must commit to be faithful. We cannot think that, well, we're a solid church. We cannot go wrong. We cannot make a misstep. I encourage you and plead with you to hold us faithful to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because the temptation in the world on us individually and corporately is to go along with the stream that the culture is flowing in, to accept what God has declared abominable. This is something that's happening individually. This is something happening in families, and it's something happening in churches and denominations. We need to commit to be found faithful. This is the commission we've been given. And this is such a remarkable commission, so immense in what Paul has given Timothy and us, that he gives three characters for us to consider. And it's really interesting when we think about these three characters that he writes about. It's some that he's used before in the book of Corinthians, but here he uses it, and I think it has a real application to us today. The first character is that of a soldier. And I want to encourage you to think of this soldier has been enlisted to engage. So we look at verse 4. So no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. So the soldier is to be single-minded in his devotion. Once he is engaged in warfare, he is to be single-minded in that, seeking to please his commanding officer, the one who enlisted him. This is what Paul writes to Timothy, and this is what Paul writes to us today. Because I want to tell you, on the authority of the Word of God, we are at war. We have been at war since the beginning, even in the Gospels, even in the first century. Paul writes of dealing in warfare. You can look, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5 that really speak to this. He writes about the weapons of our warfare, not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. This is the warfare we are engaged in. We are all on the front lines, whether we would like to think so or not, because the battle is in our mind, according to 2 Corinthians. We are to recognize and understand that we are at war. We are to assume that character of a soldier, to be single-minded, not in pleasing self, but in pleasing the one who enlisted us as soldiers, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. In this day and age that we live in, more than ever before, possibly, even though we don't know every possible situation, the truth has been compromised, not by those outside the church, that's always been the case, but more and more those that are within the church, the truth is being compromised, and we must be found faithful to keep that as soldiers are devoted to obeying their commanding officer. So should we be devoted to Christ and what he has commanded us to do in his word. You know, in this day and age that we live in, you know, so many remarkable situations that happen and occur on a daily basis. We can think of situations that happen that really make you scratch your head, that the irrationality of those that once were faithful but have been that have turned away from their faith is can be disheartening. If you look back at chapter 1, for example, verse 15, where Paul says matter-of-factly to Timothy that all those in Asia have turned away from me. I mean, that is extremely disheartening. He writes in multiple places in this letter of others that have turned away, that have abandoned him. We can read later in the letter about Demas, who turned from the gospel because he loved this present world. And we need to take to heart the warnings of Scripture, to live according to what God's word is saying, to take this character of a soldier to heart. So the first character is that of a soldier, and we are enlisted to engage. And the second character is that of an athlete, and you can see that there in verse 5. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Now, there's two ways to take this. One way we can look at this passage and understand, well, we need to make sure that we stay and keep the rules so that we can gain the crown, because this picture, this character of the athlete is being obedient to the rules to gain the honor of the crown, to gain the victor's crown. And that's a very, very good way to understand this passage. But there's another way that we need to look at it as well. Because in this world, there are so many that are not keeping the rules, but they seem to be doing well. Even those that we know that claim to be Christians. You know, in the book of Jeremiah in the Old Testament, Jeremiah really posed an interesting question, and he said it to the Lord, "Why do the wicked prosper?" And that may be a question you ask today. Why does God allow the wicked to prosper? And we see in this passage here, in the character of the athlete, where God's word is telling us they will not be crowned unless they compete according to the rules. And in the same way, if you're tempted to sin because you see others sinning in the world, well, sin is so rampant, immorality is so rampant, it's really not frowned upon like it used to be, whether it's having an affair or living with somebody outside of marriage or participating in any other illegal actions, either stealing or lying, you know, and we say, well, you know, I'm under grace. I'm okay. Nothing's going to happen to me because I'm a Christian. And because of that, you can fall into deep deception. I want to encourage you to recognize what God's word says concerning that, that the wages of sin is death. And we need to hold to that and hate evil. Cling to what is good, Romans chapter 12 tells us. Because apart from that, we ourselves will turn away and fall into error and gross sin. But if we ever think that we can operate outside the will of God and His word and receive blessing, you're strangely irrational. But how many people do we know that are mystified and weep over the lack of blessing in their life, and yet there's no evidence or fruit of genuine regeneration? There, you know, to think that you're going to be blessed apart from obedience to God is unbiblical. God blesses those that obey Him, that those put their faith and trust in Him. And we see this really more so in the third character, which is that of the farmer. And the verse 6 really simply says, the hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Now, for those that are farmers or gardeners, I have the highest respect for you because in my thinking, farming is dropping a seed into the ground and coming back in a few weeks or months and reaping the crop. But that's not what farming or gardening is it? Farming and gardening is about too much, too little, too much sunlight, too little sunlight, too much water, not enough water, too much fertilizer, not enough fertilizer, too much pH, whatever that is, too little pH. You know, and the enemies of the garden or the farm are both outside and inside, the disease that can rack a plant. And I was expecting personally a Christmas card from the rabbits that enjoyed our beans so much in the last few years. So farming is really a remarkable challenge, and yet the hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops, that he works in faith or she works in faith, recognizing that there's a hope, there's an expectation of reward. And that's why this hardworking farmer I think of as risk for reward. And God's word tells us as Christians, and we had one read today in chapter 6 of Matthew when Kevin read about the reward that we receive from praying in our closet. And Scripture gives many other places where there are rewards for obedience. So the hardworking farmer is rewarded by his hope, his faith in what God is doing in his land. And then likewise, we as Christians should be hopeful to risk for the sake of the reward. Because if we do not seek to persevere in this day, well, what hope do we have for future generations? We must with an urgency pass on what we have learned. We cannot be reservoirs. We must be conduits to others, to disciple others, to encourage, to witness, to see others come to Christ, to help the younger ones among us to grow and be able to turn and teach others. And this is what we're called to do. This is the risk, because it is risky. It's difficult when you read this letter and see how Paul, his heart broken over those that have abandoned him, those that have turned aside from him, those that have left him. And yet he is undeterred. He is encouraging Timothy and to do exactly what, for others, what he has done for Timothy, to turn, to commit these things to faithful men who will in turn teach others. This is what we're called to do. If we don't do this, we don't see the urgency in this, what will happen to the church today? You know, error will grow and grow. We have the truth of the gospel. We must pass it on. We cannot be sidelined anymore. We must stand up and proudly in Christ proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm so grateful for Jacob and Dwayne and Ping and Dennis Rumbley and Caleb Ashley and others that evangelize, Seth and others that stand up and evangelize and go downtown and evangelize. This is a part of what we are to do, but I want to encourage all of us to follow what God's word is calling us to do, to take this commission to heart, to pass it on to others, to seek to bring people into the kingdom of God. You know, when we're doing it outside outside our church sometimes, it's really a wonderful thing where people will come by and honk, and some will be waving at us and smiling. But a lot of other people are telling us we're number one. And that's okay, because we need to recognize and understand that we're there for them. We have people moving into this community from all over. And yet, we need to share the gospel. These people, you know, verses that we may be very familiar with, to some, they may never have read it before. They may be for the first time reading scripture passages. The same way with you in your neighborhood or neighbors or family or even strangers. Share the gospel. Be willing to risk for the reward, to see Christ exalted in the life of others. This is a glorious day we live in. The privilege of life in our day, I wouldn't trade it for anything. It's wonderful. It's beautiful to think of, to see people come to Christ, to be able to witness to others, to share the good news of the gospel, regardless of the personal cost. This is what we're called to do. This is why we have these characters of the soldier, the athlete, the farmer. And really, when you look at verse 7, Paul writes something there that he doesn't often do when he says, "Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things." Because there is really so much more here than we're covering today. But regardless, the gospel of Jesus Christ will continue. It's just a matter, is it going to continue through our obedience or through the obedience of others? I pray today it would continue through our obedience, through our perseverance, through our faithfulness. If the soldier stopped before the battle ended, there's no chance of victory. If the athlete stops before the event is finished, there's no chance of victory. If the farmer stops before the crops have been planted and grown, there's no reaping of any harvest. We must be faithful. We must continue to be found faithful. And I want to close with a passage in 1 Peter chapter 5. This is really speaking about grace as well, because we are to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And Peter, in chapter 5 of 1 Peter, he really talks about may the God of all grace, who has called us, to his eternal glory, thank you, by Christ Jesus, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen.